About His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj, rebirth. Sachinandan Swami Maharaj has been a monk in the Bhakti tradition for 42 years now, and he is known for his many significant contributions, especially in the practice of contemplation and meditation for modern practitioners of Bhakti. Sachinandan Swami Maharaj has published 7 books and released 2 CDs, and he offers an array of retreats, seminars and workshops, especially in the area of contemplation and meditation. Thousands of enthusiastic singers and dancers visit his Kirtan concerts. He teaches at the Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education in India and also in the Bhaktivedanta College in Belgium. Furthermore, Sachinandan Swami Maharaj serves as the spiritual guide for the Veda Academy, which is active in 8 countries, and recently also founded the organization Yoga is Music. He is very, very fond of India's sacred pilgrimage sites and annually goes there to seek personal inspiration for himself. Although his pilgrimages have taken him all over the Indian subcontinent, he is particularly fond of the sacred land of Vrindavan, the birthplace of Lord Krishna. So today Maharaj has very, very kindly agreed to take out some time for us from his many, many engagements. And in fact, he is here for a second time on our channel. So we are really grateful. And he's agreed to guide us in how to strengthen our spiritual practice. So Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you. Thank you so much for blessing us with your presence today.
Let me extend a very warm welcome for all of those who have joined us for this call. Let me see, can you all hear me properly? Am I audible?
Yes, Maharaj.
Good. Today our subject matter is of great importance for the upcoming times. It is strengthening our bhakti. And I think when we look back at the year, it has brought several changes to us. And as we are now looking forward to the upcoming times, we also can expect that the wind of change will still continue to blow and move things around, so that it is very important to have an inner strength that helps us to navigate our way through the upcoming time. And the beautiful thing is about bhakti, if you find it and you strengthen it, there are no external obstacles which can, so to say, cover its influence. The sun can never be covered really by anything. It continues to shine throughout millennia without being defeated by any influences. The influences are felt by us who are under the clouds, but bhakti means it brings you closer to the Krishna sun, so that the clouds of Maya and the winds of change within this domain has absolutely no influence on you. In fact, everything gets better and better if you find that place of inner strength, that place of bhakti. So I would like to talk for about 40 minutes and give you some practical suggestions that you can take home with you. I do like this name, practical spirituality, very much, since it at once takes spiritual ideas away from the mental sphere, from the imaginations, the concepts, the words, and turns them into a practical experience. I request you if possible to put down other things, because we will have a practical meditation, and we will also require our focus. Maybe we will need to take a few notes. You have to see if that helps you for better memory or remembrance of the points. Yes, I'm delighted to give this program. So let us start by offering our obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. To chant these Mangala Archana prayers means to invoke higher blessings to our call, and I think it's very important. You can all join me if you know the prayers. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Satadine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, everyone please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Namo Namo Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. The subject matter I would like to introduce to you is making your own bhakti tonic. A tonic is used in Ayurvedic treatment. It is called the rasayana. And there are certain rasayanas which are so strong that they can help a person recover from almost deadly diseases when modern allopathy knows of no treatment any longer. There are rasayanas or tonics which an aging person can take, which can lengthen his life duration for another 50 years. I have seen people who have been with us for 200 years, you know, and that is documented in newspapers, etc. Because they have taken these tonics, they have experienced an amazing rejuvenation, strengthening. So in bhakti, there are also these rasayanas, these tonics, which are available for us to give us strength and to equip us with endurance, resilience, and an inner dynamic which is simply not human any longer. It is a gift of the divine energy, the bhakti shakti, which can totally empower a human being. So I would like to start with this. I would like to enter a discussion. Prahlad Maharaj, the great saint, had been in the school, and when his teachers had left the classroom, he gave his classmates a total new system of thinking. It was something like a revolution against the materialistic education. It was exploring a different value system. Prahlad Maharaj's instructions are relevant for all times and all places, especially relevant for those who look for a more spiritual life. What he said to his classmates is giving us a tonic, and something practical to do that gives us the necessary strength and endurance, like Ayurvedic Rasayana does. Listen what he says. There are many systems recommended for the disentanglement from the miseries of material life. Many systems, many systems. But the one which is personally explained and accepted by the Supreme Lord is all perfect, and it should be accepted. It consists of processes that help one develop love or bhakti. Many systems are there, many recommendations by various schools of thinking, schools which go much deeper than just earn money and buy a new refrigerator or a new car. Schools which talk of much, much, much more profound insights to take care of the miseries of material life. But there is one process that has been personally accepted by the Supreme Authority, the Supreme Lord. Now you wonder, just tell us the process, please. Yes, in the seventh canto, seventh chapter, Prahlad gives this process, this bhakti rasayana, which helps us to develop this transcendental love, this all-abiding, all-encompassing divine love, which leaves no desire unfulfilled any longer. It's the fulfillment of everything. He says, this divine love or bhakti for the Lord develops by three things. First, one should serve one's teacher with love. Second, one should associate with devotees. And third, one should worship the Supreme Lord, especially by hearing about him, Shravanam, and singing his glories, like we have done in Kirtan a few minutes ago. Well, these are the three things. Let us look at them a little bit more closer. First, we should find an exalted soul who can bring us to further levels by his teachings. And one should serve this divine soul, this exalted personality, because through service you come closer to him, and the teachings which he gives are more easier to be absorbed by you. They really stick in you. They stay with you. Serving a spiritual master, hearing from him, and applying his teachings, that is the first building block which for your bhakti. The second is to associate with devotees. In the association with devotees, an amazing transfer of spiritual strength comes, takes place. When you sit next to a diseased person, for instance, when you are there, a transfer of the disease might take place. When he breathes out like an asthmatic person, and all kinds of viruses are coming everywhere, and then you get it also, the disease. So when you have sadhu sangha or association with devotees and just stay with them, you will find that what they have in their heart that will come to you, and you will feel a very uplifting result. And the third item is you should turn your glance, your attention to the Supreme Lord, and start worshipping him. Srila Prabhupada wanted to install in the houses of the world deities of the Lord, Shishi Gornitai. He said we should distribute them to everyone, and we should say these are dolls, puppets that bring you good fortune. If you just wave one incense stick a day before them and engage in some puja, some worship. And he said the most effective type of puja is not even waving the incense stick, it is singing the names of the all auspicious Lord and hearing about him through the scriptures. Yes, that's the easiest type of worship. When you think of strengthening a person through a rasayana, a tonic that gives strength to them, the easy to understand analogy of the Bhagavatam comes to mind. There, the process of strengthening our bhakti is compared to taking a nourishing meal. And I would like to quote you this analogy from the scriptures so that you can know what it could mean in your life. Bhakti parinshanu bhavo virak. I have to say it again. Bhakti parishano bhavo viraktir anyatra chaisha trika eka kala prapatya manasya yatashnatasyus tushti pushti shut apayonagasam. for one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devotion, direct experience of the Supreme Lord, and detachment from other things take place simultaneously. This happens in the same way as pleasure, nourishment, and relief from hunger come simultaneously and increasingly with each bite for a person engaged in eating. So here is a very, very good example. When you eat, something happens to you, no? You get pleasure, oh, finally I have something to chew on. You get nourishment, and the time comes where you don't feel hunger any longer. You feel the absence of hunger. Then the same practical experience happens when you take the bhakti tonic. You get devotion, a direct experience of the Supreme Lord. And what is so difficult for us to do without bhakti, you become actually detached from material life. As this call goes on, a dear guest comes. Please greet him through the window and take care of his needs. Ishan. Yes. Bhakti, my dear devotees, immediately gives a very practical experience. This is something which everyone can feel. Once my spiritual master Srila Prabhupada was asked, what is the proof, please, that Krishna is God, and that worshipping Him is the highest path? He asked this, and his disciples were there, and they answered, well, you said so. Srila Prabhupada said, I may just be an old man who has some belief. And what is the proof? Give me a proof. But Krishna, said another one, has spoken the Bhagavad Gita, and in the Bhagavad Gita he has told us the secrets of bhakti. Well, said Srila Prabhupada, the Bhagavad Gita is an old book. Is it still relevant today? And it may be just a story. What is the proof, please, that Krishna is God? And Prabhupada would do this often. He would check on us if we had understood. But we did not find an answer that was to his full satisfaction. Then he himself gave the answer, and he said, the proof lies in your experience. When you chant the holy name, and when you serve Krishna, it's in the experience. And here, in this verse, which we have heard just now, he gives, Shukadev Goswami gives us three very powerful experiences that happen when you do this bhakti process. You have, first of all, satisfaction. You feel happy because in your heart there is bhakti and love for the Lord. A person who has love for the heart, in his heart, real love in his heart, he is happy wherever he goes. He somehow derives great happiness. We say this in Germany. I guess also in India, that the person who is in love is happy wherever he goes. The Bhagavatam says, he is like a rich merchant. When he travels, he brings a big tent with him, and there is the best food, good company, and nothing is lacking for him. A person similarly who has love in his heart, he feels the whole world is a place of the highest happiness. There is no misery for such a person. So this satisfaction is coming if you take the bhakti tonic. The second point is nourishment. That means you realize Krishna, you realize the Lord who is the recipient of your service and your worship. He manifests directly in the heart. In other works, you find the image that the heart is like the mirror, and you see Krishna in the mirror of your heart. He manifests there. And the last thing which you experience by the bhakti tonic is relief from hunger. That means when there is a revelation of the Lord in the heart, one becomes detached from all else, such as home, the belongings and comforts. This happens with every single bite, like a hungry man. If he eats with every single bite, he becomes more satisfied. He becomes more nourished, so that finally he says, enough. But one thing is with bhakti. Here's the analogy is not accurate. You will never say, I have enough bhakti. You will never say, I have enough sadhana or devotional practice. You will never say, I have worshipped enough. You will drink more and more of the ecstasy without limit, so that the world will say, he is lost to the world and he has found God. Nice compliment. So in precisely the same way, by executing one simple thing of bhakti, you will rejuvenate yourself. I had this experience once in Radadish. That is a community here in Europe. It's an old castle. And once a year, the devotees call, invite many people for the Radadish Mellows. It's a kirtan festival that takes place over 3 days, and more than 1,000 participants go there every year. This year, or the coming year, 2021, it will be online. Yes, so I have been coming there for some time, and I remember this one year, it must have been about 5 years back, when I was standing before the kirtan hall. There were just so many people inside that it was difficult to find a place, and I did not want to step over people. So I was waiting outside because my own slot was just coming, and then I wanted to go inside, and there was a man who saw me, and he said to me, I have lost my faith in all religions. I have lost my faith in all spirituality. And I said, but you came here? Why did you come here? Well, I thought I make one last attempt. I said, good, good, good. Then come with me. And in about 10 minutes, I'm going up. So you just walk after me. You sit there, and your therapy is you stay there for 4 hours. I think there were 4 hours left on that day where Kirtan was going on. So we did so. I made sure my doubting man, my desperate man would come really inside, and I took him by the arm, and I just pulled him after me because there were so many people, and sat him down and said, don't move. Whatever your mind tells you, don't move. Your mind will tell you too many people, too little air. Don't move. Just stay with the kirtan. He did so. He stayed for 4 hours. And afterwards, I said to him, I think you're a hungry man. One meal is not enough for you. You need a second meal. Come with me tomorrow. We meet here at 10 o'clock. And then you sit again in the kirtan. And he did so. And after that kirtan, it was the morning slots there. I said, so tell me, what is your experience? And he said, it's strange. I feel that my consciousness has raised to a higher place than I was before, and I can see my life from there totally different. It's almost like going in an elevator up the Empire State Building. He gave that analogy, that high building in New York. There are 11, I don't know, maybe there are 30 floors. I was really high. I also went up there. And looking down from there, you have a new perspective. Things which looked so big look very small. And things which you didn't see, like the Liberty statue, look very close and you can see from there things which you have overlooked before, which you couldn't see. Not overlooked, you could not see them because you didn't have the perspective to see. So I feel like that. I said, you need a little bit more. You are a very hungry man, a desperate hungry man. Come to the afternoon and session. And he, by now he had already some faith, and he came and stayed and chanted. And then finally he said to me, I'm so happy that you took me by the arm and pulled me in. I feel something happened to me. And at that time he started to cry. He said, you're crying? Is there some problem? No problem. All problems are solved. I felt the Lord was speaking to me in my heart. I'm here. Can't you see it? Can't you feel it? I'm here, and you should learn now more about me so that you can be convinced on all levels. I heard I should read the Bhagavad Gita, so I gave him a Bhagavad Gita, and I think he is in good hands now. I heard he has regular association with the devotees in either in Belgium or in Amsterdam, if that is not the same place, Amsterdam or Belgium. Amsterdam is Holland. Yes. Anyone who takes the bhakti tonic, even if he is almost a dead person, can have these experiences. Spiritual satisfaction, that's what he felt the second slot, and then an experience of the Lord. That is what he felt when he pursued kirtan a little longer. No, that is happening for sure. It is due to the power of bhakti and due to the blessings of great acharyas, souls who wish that we are coming up in our spiritual life. So it's a very simple analogy. Let me again say to you what tonic I recommend to you. Come close to a spiritual teacher. This is what Prahlad Maharaj said. Hear from him. Then associate with the devotees. Learn from them. And then start at home your worship of the Supreme Lord. Simple. Simple ingredients. A normal tonic, I understand. And this Ayurvedic tonic has 80 ingredients. The bhakti tonic has also many ingredients, but the difference is you take to these three processes, you enter bhakti, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a new world. And yes, then comes this point, then comes that point. You move up an enchanting staircase where each step has its own rules and own insights, own revelations, until finally you are there. Those who go the bhakti path know it is a progressive path. It's not that you only do this is this and then you got it. No. When you enter the palace through one gate, does this mean that you just stay in the gate for all the time? No, you move on, explore the various rooms, but it's no longer difficult for you because you are already in. So these are the three things which bring you in the bhakti palace, and then you can explore again and again the various rooms which are revealed to you in this amazing journey. Now, let me just look at the time here. Oops, I have already come to my time limit. This is really a pity. I'm just becoming warm. I want to continue, but time is also there. I wanted to give you an example of someone who did these, serving a teacher, accepting a teacher, associating with devotees, and then worshipping the Lord. But it is 2:10 here in Germany. I have taken the time. We have 20 more minutes for an exciting question and answer session, and I will say what I wanted to say. I can imagine it will come there. Let us now see. Let me address our host. Are there already any questions? Let me see. Our host is maybe not.
Hare Krishna?
Yes, Prabhu. Any questions already?
Maharaj, not yet. So, just to everyone, I would like to say that please put your questions in the chat so we can pass them on to Maharaj. Yes. And Maharaj, if time permits, please, you said that you would like to take the example, right?
Yes. So, this is Krishna's arrangement. I have the time to bring the example. There was once a little boy, very quickly in his life, disaster stroke. He was only 6 years old when first his mother died and then his father died. He became an orphan. There was no one in the village who was able to take care of him, and he went to the town of Navadvip, where he became a beggar. Like you see this beggar children in Mumbai, he became one of them. And one day he entered a pandal where a great devotee spoke about Krishna, who takes shelter of those who are shelterless. Krishna is Dinabandhu, the devotee said, the friend of the fallen. And this little boy, who had no shelter, who lived on the streets by the gifts of the people who passed by, decided to find Krishna and take the shelter of Krishna. He was found wandering the streets of Navadvip and stopping the passenger, the people there, and asking, "Where is Krishna? Can you tell me how to find Krishna?" So the people thought he is a little pagal, a little crazy, and they wouldn't really deal with him, until one day this poor beggar boy met a devotee who said, "Well, those who want to find Krishna, they go usually to Vrindavan, because he's there and he plays his flute on the banks of the river Jamuna. He comes there with his cows every day." The boy was fascinated and he said, "How can I go to Vrindavan?" The devotee said, "The journey is far and you are small. I suggest that you find those who go by pilgrimage to from Navadvip to Vrindavan, a group of pilgrims. There will be enough food for you, the leader knows the roads, and if you should meet some bandits on the path, he will know how to protect you from danger." So this boy found such a group. They started their journey. After 3 weeks, he came there at the appointed time, at the appointed place, and they took the little six-year-old boy with them. They had heard about him from this devotee. Take him, he's a good boy. So when this boy arrived in Vrindavan, he stopped again everyone on the street, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" And many pilgrims avoided him until he again met a great devotee and said, "Well, if you want to find Krishna, you need to be educated a little bit. You need to find a teacher who can teach you Sambandha Gyan, you know, spiritual knowledge." "Yes," said the little boy, I'm ready, I'm willing. Can you recommend a teacher?" The devotee said, "I take you to one." And he brought this boy to an old man who was living with his wife. They had a few cows, and the devotee said, "He's a poor boy, can you take care of him?" The old man said to this poor boy, "You could live here, but tell me, what can you do? What do you know?" And this little boy looked around and saw there were 6 cows in the ashram of this elderly man, and he said, "I know to take care of cows. I'm from a village." So this little boy, whom the teacher called Bandhu, lived in the cow shed and became a member of the small ashram. But every day he would take his cows to the banks of the Jamuna, because he had heard in Navadvip, when he was in Bengal, that Krishna is to be found at the banks of the Jamuna. A year passed, another year passed. Bandhu learned many things, including to chant on Japamala. One day, as he was bringing his cows to the Jamuna, he heard a huge sound. Cows were making the sound, and with the sound he heard the laughter, the joyful laughter of boys. Then, listen to this, he saw a huge herd of cows approaching the Yamuna, and he saw boys dancing and dancing, whirling sticks, blowing their horns, everything. And he felt very enthusiastic. He went through the Jamuna. There was something like a fort. He crossed the Jamuna and he danced with the boys. And the boys said, "We are going now, come back tomorrow." The next day, Bandhu came, and now he was more prepared. He saw the same herd of cows. He saw the same boys, but this time he saw two boys which were different. One looked totally black, the other totally white. The black one was dressed in garments that were glittering like lightning, and the white one was dressed in blue garments. And when Bandhu saw them, he went to them and said, "Who are you?" And one boy said, "My name is Syam." And the other boy said, "They call me Dauji here." Now Bandhu was a young boy. He had not yet heard this name, Syam and Dauji. And the two said, "You're very hungry. Do you have something to eat?" And Bandhu said, "Yes, yes, yes." And he ran back over and crossed the Yamuna and brought his tiffin. And there was something in, and he fed it. And the boys said, "Bring us more tomorrow." So Bandhu came back all excited and said, "I met two very, very special boys. Can you please cook a little bit more?" So the Guruma was so happy that she did cook an extra portion. And Bandhu came back and played with the boys the whole day, and they were running, and he felt so blissful and so transcendentally, he didn't know what that is. He felt so nourished with spiritual experience that he finally almost fainted. He did actually faint, and when he woke up, the whole scene had disappeared. There were no cows, no boys, no special boys. But he came back the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And one day he brought his guru. And the guru was not yet so advanced. He was not yet so eager. He was not yet so purified as this young little boy. But he saw a little glimpse of the transcendental scene. Lord Krishna, who is also known as Syam in Vrindavan, watering his cows. Balaram, who is also known as Dauji in Vrindavan, playing on his horn. and all the sakas, the cowherd boys, being there. He saw a little glimpse for just a moment, and then he understood it was Krishna's arrangement that Bandhu, my disciple, was brought to me because he brought me to Krishna. It's a difference. Once my spiritual master said, if one disciple of mine would be so advanced that he would bring me back to Godhead, that would be my success. Obviously, Prabhupada was beyond all of us. He was very, very, very advanced, and he brought us to whatever stage we are. It's just this story is found in the Bhaktamala by Nabadas and Priyadas. Yes, my dear devotees, my dear listeners, and my dear skeptics, this is the power of the Bhakti tonic. It brings revelation. And the entry is really finding the teacher, associating with devotees, and then starting a regular process of worship of Krishna. Shravanam Kirtanam. This is practical spirituality, and it will bring practical results. Okay. This is what I wanted to present to all of you. Now let us see if there are any questions there, and our host can tell us those questions. Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, we are very grateful to you for presenting such a beautiful seminar. The first question that we have received is from Asta Ashtakar. Hare Krishna Guru, Hare Krishna Maharaj, Tanvar Pranam. How can one find Guru? If a person somehow get him, how it will be confirmed that he is my spiritual master? And once confirmed, how do we know how to approach him? So, thank you.
Thank you. The spiritual master is sent by Krishna. The moment you are eager to come close to Krishna, Krishna will make some arrangement. And then for you the proof, or for you the indication that this is your spiritual master, is when he makes Krishna appear in your heart, when you become more conscious, more advanced, and you will see something practical happens in your life. You should not immediately decide. You should just listen to the classes and see what association is possible. Mostly we can come to the lectures and the classes and associate with the disciples of a particular spiritual master, hear more, read more, and then the confirmations will come by Krishna, who sits in your heart as Paramatma. And you will know. You will know it as sure as when you eat. Now I am satiated. I'm nourished. You know it. No one needs to tell you. You know it. You certain things you know. Yes, and that's one of them. So yes, in brief, this is the answer which Prabhupada said. Guru is sent by Krishna, and he will make Krishna appear in your heart. What is the next question?
Thank you so much, Maharaj. The next question is that our mind dwells on various sense objects, and we are very much attached to the material objects and sense gratification. So how do we help ourselves and get closer to Krishna? And also related to this question, there is one question that has been asked, is that do we need to make special effort to get away from the attachments in the material world, or is that an automatic process as we get
How to detach yourself from this process which you have described is very nicely dealt with in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. A question is addressed. It is said, the senses are attracted to the outside sense enjoyment, no? Sense objects. We may see something which is very tasty, or we may see a new developed iPhone with many new functions, and there may be a spontaneous attraction there. But even in the absence of sense objects, the mind remembers previous sense enjoyments, and it goes there. You can sometimes see this when you see the devotees sitting in the morning chanting their japa together, and all of a sudden one devotee makes a very sour face. I have observed these devotees, and I have gone to them and said, Prabhu, at around 6:11, you made a very sour face. What was in your mind? And then the devotee really gets shocked. I said, don't be afraid. And then I know in India one doesn't speak about these things. But when the devotee knows me, he usually says, Maharaj, some impression of a sense of sensual activities has again come into my mind while I was chanting japa. Yes, this happens, it's normal. We may not need to discuss the details, but yes, the senses are attracted to sense enjoyments, but also the mind will remember past, previous sense enjoyments, which are not there. In the temple room, there is no object of the senses, but the mind goes there. So how can we solve this cycle? And here comes the answer. You have to bring Krishna in the mind. I like to give the example that the mind is like a cave in some ways. There is darkness in the mind. Darkness which may be billions of years old. But if you bring one match of light into the cave, in the darkness will flee. So we have to learn to think of Krishna. This is very, very important. Bhakti is also a school in which the mind is trained to not function in the normal way, to think of sense enjoyments and make plans how to obtain these sense enjoyments. No, the mind in bhakti is trained to think of Krishna and make plans to attain him. That will eventually take care of all the darkness.
There are more questions. Shall I go forward with them?
We have, in a way, let me do like this. Please choose with your praying to Paramatma that you make the right choice. Let us take one more question and then end the call, because today I have a very important discussion to make, and have a guest here for that. So let us just end with the last question.
Last question that we have received, Maharaj, is that in these times when we cannot meet our spiritual masters, our gurus, and we cannot practically associate with Vaishnavas, how do we fill that gap in our lives in these uncertain and corona times?
Yes, these times are putting new challenges before us. One thing which you might notice as something which is good in all this difficult situation is that you begin to miss what is not possible for you to have on a daily or even weekly or monthly basis. You begin to miss it. You begin to yearn for it and long for it. And I can tell you this longing is good. You may go many times to the temple, but if you are indifferent in your mind, you will not, the words or the impressions, the experiences which you make will not, let me say, fructify in your heart. So what you can do is you can learn to associate with Vani, that is the words, the messages, the inspirations. Srila, my spiritual master prepared us that he would leave his body and we would not have his association. And he said, you must learn to associate with me in a spiritual way through listening to my messages. So I want to recommend to you, see what is there available online, see the books, study them, and have association like this. Through the spiritual presence of a spiritual personality is not limited to his physical presence. You can have association in dreams even, but certainly you can have it more concrete in the online presentations or recorded lecture. That is my recommendation. Try it out, but apply this process. Are you still listening? This process you must apply. When you hear the messages, think about it, even if you heard it thousands of times. Think about it, because with reflecting about it, it will go much deeper. Then, as you are thinking about it, apply what you have, even in a small, small detail. If you leave this call without applying it, oh, it would be such a sad ending for this call. But if you apply it and you, yes, connect yourself more with your spiritual master, if you associate with various devotees by listening to their internet presentations and get trained, and then, get into some chanting at home, get into some puja at home, then only this call is successful. Having said this, I want to thank you very much. I wish from my heart all the best for you. I have no doubts that the Lord will take care of you. He took care of Bandhu. You just need to be a little eager. And the Lord will give you bhakti parishanubhavo, a direct experience, if you continue to take the bhakti tonic. Please also visit again and again this very amazing initiative that is called practical spirituality. It is practical. It is something which you can actually learn and do. And what else is there to say? May the Lord bless all of you. May Lord Nrisimhadev protect all of you. May Srila Prabhupada in his unlimited kindness and mercy enlighten you And may you have the best and most fantastic year 2021, which is beyond all your expectations, because you drink the Bhakti tonic. This is ordinary tea. This is not giving any, only thirst is going. But let us make every day the Bhakti tonic and drink it to our full satisfaction. All the best and Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Just a couple of quick announcements.